This is Fresh Air. Beginning today, PBS presents a new American Masters documentary about singer, musician, and composer Richard Penniman, famously known as Little Richard. The program focuses on both his impact on popular music as he went in and out of rock and roll and on his complicated sexually shifting private life. It's called Little Richard, King and Queen of Rock and Roll. Our TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
Elvis Presley exploded onto the music scene in 1956, changing music history. One of the songs on his introductory album was his rendition of Tutti Frutti, a song released the previous year by Little Richard. It wasn't Little Richard's only quickly covered song. In 1956, Little Richard followed up Tutti Frutti with Long Tall Sally, in 1957 with Lucille, and in 1958 with Good Golly Miss Molly. But by then, Little Richard had walked away from rock and roll. Back in 1956, two of Little Richard's hits on the rhythm and blues charts, Tutti Frutti and Long Tall Sally, would be snatched up and re-recorded by another artist who scored even bigger hits with both of them on the pop charts. That singer was Pat Boone. He appears in this new PBS American Masters documentary, Little Richard, King and Queen of Rock and Roll, to explain and sort of weakly defend his appropriation of Little Richard's music. Little Richard also can be heard reacting in a Vintage interview, sounding less than pleased.
Rhythm and blues music was called race music. Here I'm a church-going white kid from Nashville. I knew very little of it. But then when I heard a song by Little Richard called Tutti Frutti, I loved it. I just flat loved it. And so I thought I'm going to do my version of it.
Jumping into 10th position this week, Tutti Frutti. And here to sing it in person is the man who made it a hit. One of America's greatest recording stars, Pat Boone.
When I recorded that song, it was hard to say. What was that again?
Tutti Frutti, Tutti.
I was having to write that out. A wop, bop, a loo, what? Bump, bop. Write that out. Write it out so I could sing it. Bop, bop, a loo, mop, bop, bop, bop. My version took off like a rocket. It was a million-selling hit. The kids loved it.
Pat Boone came out singing a white version of Tutti Frutti. I was very disgusted because I was just coming on the scene and he sold more than I did.
Richard Penniman, whose stage name was Little Richard, came from a tradition of gospel music and returned to gospel after quitting rock and roll in the late 50s. But he also played R&B and what became rock and roll and never let himself be defined for long by any one musical category. Or, in his private life, by any one sexual category. Over the years, at various times, he described himself as gay, as being equally attracted to men and women, as being what he called omnisexual, and later, as renouncing homosexuality on religious grounds. Yet in the late 50s, when he released some of rock music's most seminal recordings and lit up the screen in such films as The Girl Can't Help It, Little Richard influenced generations of performers with his uninhibited, flamboyant, androgynous style. The documentary gives Little Richard credit for inspiring everyone from Elton John and Prince to Harry Styles and David Bowie. And two members of the British invasion of the 60s, Ringo Starr and Keith Richards, give new interviews acknowledging as much. Both of their respective bands, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, adored Little Richard and his music. The Beatles recorded some of his songs, and Paul McCartney mimicked his style, to embrace Little Richard, not to exploit him. And both the Beatles and the Stones, when they started out, took turns serving as Little Richard's opening act. The Beatles did it in Germany before getting their recording contract with George Martin, and the Stones opened for Little Richard on their very first rock tour in October 1963, when the Stones were total unknowns. Keith Richards remembers it well, and in another Vintage interview, so does Little Richard.
Did nobody know them but their mothers? Mick, you know I'm telling the truth. Keith, I'm telling you. Didn't nobody know Keith and Mick but their families? It was really something.
Come on.
So, suddenly, there we are on this huge tour, and Mick and I used to try and find our way up into the rafters of the theaters and just watch it from above and see how he operated. It was an insight to how hard you might have to work if you wanted to do this stuff, you know. And he did it with a beautiful nonchalance. It was high-powered, but you always had a feeling that there was more in the tank. It was a real lesson in stagecraft. Especially since we hadn't never seen a stage before.
James House, the director of this new American Masters entry, is on firm ground establishing Little Richard's talent, impact, and continued legacy. Later TV clips from the 80s and 90s give a sense of delayed but heartfelt recognition for the man who was one of the original architects of rock music as we know it. The portions of the documentary about the singer's somewhat fluid sexuality and statements about it through the years are less conclusive, because Little Richard himself, on this topic, proves more elusive. As a person, Little Richard Penniman was a bit of a mystery, and remains so even after watching this full-length TV biography. But he also was a dynamo as a performer, on stage and on record. And that, without question, American Masters conveys completely. Gonna tell and Mary Brown Uncle John. He claimed he had the music, but he had a lot of fun. Oh, baby. Yeah, baby. Woo, baby. Having me some fun tonight. Yeah. Well, no tall sound of sheep. Be a sweet guy. Everything that Uncle John need. Oh, baby. Yeah, baby. Woo, baby.
David Bianculli is a professor of television studies at Rowan University. He reviewed the new American Masters documentary, Little Richard, King and Queen of Rock and Roll, on PBS. The final episode of HBO's Succession has aired, and we have questions. On Monday's show, we'll talk with series creator Jesse Armstrong and executive producer Frank Rich. I hope you can join us. To keep up with what's on the show and get highlights of our interviews, follow us on Instagram at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer today is Roberta Shorrock. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman, Julian Hertzfeld, and Al Banks. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Anne Marie Baldonado, Thea Challoner, Seth Kelly, and Susan Yakundi. Our digital media producer is Molly C.V. Nesper. For Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley, I'm Dave Davies.